Interesting stuff. glad to have you here. Jeff Bennett on this Thursday on the 28th day of the month. My God, has it flown by? Interesting piece of opening music. And it, in a roundabout way, will have a lot to do with tonight's program. It was the opening theme song from a television show, the 1970s, which was dealing with the Walton family. No, the television variation thereof. It was an amazing film show that showed what families were like, how they worked together, how they benefited, how they assisted their children. They began to tolerate their elderly grandparents who were getting older. Quite a program. But that's not what this story is about tonight. I look at things throughout my lifetime. I look at how things have changed through the world of the internet. There's a couple of things in particular that have always bothered me. One is predominantly internet-based, and the other one's not. I have had absolutely no use for Amazon. Interesting enough, even though I have an account with Amazon, I don't purchase through Amazon, nor have I ever. Never has Amazon delivered anything to my house from anything that either my wife or I have ordered. Grandkids, they're used to it. That's what they do. But I have no use for Amazon. My reason for my account there is to file complaints against people who are violating copyright infringements as relates to Dr. Kelly's books. The other one is the Walton family, not the television people. Bentonville, Arkansas. From what everything I've read, it was a wonderful place to grow up. A community for families. A wholesome slice of small-town Americana that rootless corporations are attempting to ruthlessly annihilate from sea to shining sea. Bentonville, you see, if you don't recall, is home to Walmart's global headquarters, along with the Walton family, not the television version. But the Walmart's Walton family and their family foundation. They're worth $238 billion, and the Waltons are the wealthiest family on earth. But instead of devoting their fortune to alleviating the brutal poverty that sweeps across their native Ozarks in Arkansas, the Waltons have committed their wealth to wrecking Bentonville, Arkansas. And if they get their way, the rest of the state and the country. The damage that this family and its foundation has done to Bentonville, much of it through donations to openly subversive groups, is incalculable. Old Sam Walton's got to be turning in his grave. Now, last year, the leftist magazine Jacobin published a piece exploring how Bentonville is, in every respect, a modern company town, how the Waltons use their Walton Family Foundation as a titanic tax shelter, an accumulation strategy. One aspect of turning Bentonville into a company town is the foundation's terraforming the city into a playground for the managerial class. The Walton family's mission to transform Bentonville and the Ozarks into some synthesis of Austin and Portland and Asheville is merely a mission of cultural and demographic genocide against Ozarkians and their culture. With Walmart and the Waltons' massive fortune, which of course buys political influence at the municipal and county and state and federal levels, it is no surprise that Arkansas's politicians are entirely in the family's pocket. In 2019, sources tell us that Walmart was secretly involved in pushing the United Daughters of the Confederacy to remove the town's 112-year-old Confederate statue from its longtime place in the city's downtown square. God, how gorgeous. It's, you know, like The Godfather. We've been told the corporate behemoth made the UDC's ladies an offer they couldn't refuse. Remove the statue and Walmart will help finance a new park for it. Otherwise, the county will remove and destroy it. Forget the new park. Of course, the UDC, the United Daughters of the Confederacy, agreed, but also had to present the decision as its own. And then sources tell us that Walmart funneled the money for the statue's removal through a local historical society so that no one would know of Walmart's involvement. A Walton Family Foundation employee, by the way, had already helped vandalize the monument and had been fined $16,000. Now, the destruction of Southern heritage is something that has always annoyed the living daylights out of me. Because it's, number one, more than symbolic. And the Waltons, through Walmart and the foundation, are importing legions of urban leftists to colonize Bentonville. And now the LGBTQ flags fly from the rooftops and Biden signs line some of the streets. All in a county that voted more than 60% in favor of Trump in 2020. And so fleeing their coastal hells, these damn leftists are dispossessing Bentonville natives. And they will eventually take over politically thanks to redistricting. And they've been ravaged by opioids and other societal pathologies. Arkansas's population declined during the past decade. The population growth in Northwest Arkansas's third congressional district has been so enormous. The latest redistricting gave a significant number of conservative rural residents to the first fourth district. Arkansas's Democrat Gazette on May the 2nd of 2021 tells us all of this. And yet the increasing leftist population centers of Bentonville and Fayetteville and Fort Smith now have even more inordinate power over the district's affairs. And if things proceed like this for another 10 years, the district will become purple, if not blue. But we suspect that this was the legislature's and thus the Waltons' goal anyway. And as for the Ozarks regionally, they were divided among the first, third, and fourth districts. And the most sensible redistricting proposal would have been to unite the Ozarks into a one district because it is a culturally distinct region with a homogenous political culture of right-wing populism. But of course, the family couldn't allow that. And then like BlackRock, you know, the investment company that is purchasing whole neighborhoods of inexpensive homes across the country. The Waltons and their friends have used inflation and speculation to drive up prices to the point that native Arkansasers can no longer afford to live in their own hometown. I mean, this was a kind of a low-end town. And the average price of a new home in Bentonville, Arkansas, is now $676,000. The homeowners are being priced out. The renters are being evicted as landlords sell out to the developers. And hideous soul-crushing apartment complexes are popping up everywhere. Now the Waltons are making noise about low-income housing projects. So let's see, they drive the people from their homes, kill private home ownership, and then jabber about the need for affordable housing. I mean, who's going to fill that new housing? Certainly not the Ozarkians. Which invites another discussion of the Waltons' war on Ozarkia. Fayetteville is home to Arkansas's sole refugee resettlement operation, an organization called Canopy NWA. Since its inception, Canopy has received more than $500,000 from the Walton Family Foundation. Clint Schneckloth, pastor of Fayetteville's Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, which, as we will see, is also an incubator of child grooming and child transgenderism, founded the organization and, in fact, is board chairman. Canopy's executive director is one Joanna Krause, who proudly says that she carries on the traditions of her German Jewish grandparents. Canopy's an affiliate of the Treason Lobby subsidiary Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, one of the nine agencies that received tens of billions of dollars to settle millions of third world invaders across the United States. 2016 alone, government provided more than 96% of the LIRS's budgets. That's Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Do you understand that, people? Tax dollars are funding the replacement of Americans. True, in this case, Arkansasians. So with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the LIRS is one of two agencies that contract with the federal government to bring unaccompanied illegal minors into our country. And the president of LIRS is a Sri Lankan named Krishanti Dignaraja, a former policy director for one Michelle Obama. An LIRS sponsored the nationwide Lights for Liberty protest against immigration and customs enforcement. And they culminated in Dutch immigrant and Antifa terrorist William Van Spronson's attempt to blow up an ICE detention agency in Tacoma, Washington, with a 500-gallon propane tank bomb. If all of this isn't sinister enough, my friends, it gets worse. So the Waltons, once again, through their omnipotent family foundation, are among the world's most powerful promulgators of transgender propaganda. The example is something they call the transition closet. Well, the transition closet is based at the Good Sheraton Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, the very same church behind refugee resettlement. Now, what does the transition closet do? There was a teacher who explained it all on TikTok, a now deleted TikTok video, posted to Twitter by the teacher's exposed account. A public high school teacher in Oakland, California, named Tommy Martin Edwards, explained how TTC facilitated the gender transition of children behind the parents' backs. And the goal of the transition closet is for our students to be able to wear the clothes that their parents approve of, come to school, and then swap out into the clothes that fit who they truly are. Oh my God. A transition closet? A skeleton in the transition closet?
So when the classes end and the kids change back into their normal clothes and mom and dad are none the wiser. And some of these gender-affirming clothes include chest-binding equipment for girls to bind their breasts flat to appear to be masculine, and tucking thongs for boys to flatten their penises. Are you puking yet? Now, whistleblowers have revealed that teachers in some elementary schools are actually providing children with puberty blockers. Oh, of course, the Transition Closet hosts helpful how-to videos and promotes books that teach young children how to use the proper pronouns, how to stretch before and after using breast binders. And the outfit also offers free consultations for binder fitting, gender-confirming underwear, sponsorships, and size conversion. Last year, the church holded a week-long queer camp for kids featuring drag queens. Children as young as 12 are encouraged to attend. And this year, they're talking about making it a sleepover camp. And what's the Walton connection? The Transition Closet was one of 21 LGBTQ organizations included in a $750,000 grant from the Arkansas Community Foundation's LGBTQ Plus Advancement Fund, which in turn is funded exclusively by the Alice Walton Foundation, Olivia and Tom Walton through the Walton Family Foundation, and the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation. The Walton family also uses its two museums, the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and the Monumentary, to proselytize LGBTQ plus lifestyles and subvert the Ozark culture. In February, the Momentary hosted a transgender, intersex, and non-binary fashion show for Northwest Arkansas's Fashion Week. And we could go on and on. And will briefly. During 2020's Summer of Black Lives Matter, when rampaging BLM and Antifa mobs vandalized and looted cities, Walmart announced that it would establish a new Center for Racial Equality. Center for Racial Equity. You see, Walmart is donating $100 million to fund research, advocacy, innovation of practices and tools, stakeholder convening, support the work of Black philanthropic leaders and organizations that serve Black communities. It'll also provide counsel across Walmart to increase understanding and improve efforts that promote equity and address the structural racism that persists in America. It's interesting. I remember when the whole BLM thing was going on 2 years ago, and I watched videos of Black Lives Matter people, etc., going in, raping the living crap out of Walmart, robbing them blind. But on top of that, if we cast an even more nefarious pall over the Walton Family Foundation, is its executive director, one Carol Stern, former president of UNICEF USA. And wouldn't you know it, a former chief operating officer of the Anti-Defamation League. My God, people, the Nouveau Riche managerial class that has remade Bentonville in its own image believed that Bentonville, the Ozarks, and Arkansas were nothing but benighted, primordial backwaters stuck in the dark ages before Walmart arrived. Yeah, we're just supposed to sit back and celebrate the new urbanist gentrification of a traditional southern community as growth. without ever asking about the human and cultural cost of such growth, or over whose broken bodies the hooves of progress ran roughshod. Walmart, the Waltons, and their managerial subversives simply believe they are saviors on a mission from God. One thing is certain. If they're not stopped, the Waltons will destroy us. Who is us? What I've just shared with you is written by Neil Kumar. Born, raised, grew up with, lived in almost his entire life in Bentonville, Arkansas. I'm assuming his primary comment about one thing is certain, if they're not stopped, the Waltons will destroy us. He's continued to talk about Bentonville, but I will take this a step further. As far as I'm concerned, Walmart has been hell-bent to destroy since old Sam Walton died. But they've been out to destroy America. They put small businesses out of business. When stores were forced to shut down because of COVID and everything else, Walmart was allowed to stay open. Now, I have done a lot of talking here in this first 23-odd minutes of the program. But what I'm going to suggest you do later is go to the Federal Observer, federalobserver.com. I want you to read this article. Now, I've noticed a couple little typographical errors in there I'm going to try to fix up as soon as the program's over. The article is entitled, "The Waltons Go to War on Ozarkia." It is one of the very few articles that I felt needed every single link that the author had put in this original article, which was published just 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whatever. I want you to follow those links. Understand exactly what's been crammed down our throat. I don't shop at Walmart as a rule. Once in a while, I'll go in there because there's something I need to have at an oddball hour of the night or day. Not that they're open 24 hours a day anymore. You know, they're all afraid of getting COVID. But the fact of the matter is that the links that this author has put in here are exceedingly well-researched. They're appalling. So it's not just somebody writing some gabby-rabby stuff. Oh, no. Oh, and there is a video on here from the Transition Closet. Yeah, it's worth looking at, unless you're afraid of vomiting. There's times that I think I'd rather vomit. Get the garbage out of my gut. I'd strongly urge you to read this and take your time and follow the link and get a full, distinct understanding of who and the living what the hell Walmart's truly all about anymore. And then you go find a way to back up and support with me why you go spend your money at Walmart. And I know that economically, Walmart can be quite affordable. But you see, I don't really give a damn. I would much rather spend my money elsewhere. It's not supporting this kind of crap. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. This whole country has gone to hell, folks. Long since time to wake up and get it. And I'm not going to support them. Matter of fact, I probably just about finished spending my last nickel at that damn place. And that's exactly how I feel about it. I would rather go broke than spend my money with these sons of bitches. This isn't written by one man's opinion. This is backed up and supported by a wide range. A very wide range of different writers that can back it all up. You want to support your own demise? You want to support this nation's demise? Look what in the living hell these people are supporting. No thanks. Not interested. Ain't playing that game, Jack. Not interested. Wow. Now here's the really sad thing. Oh my God. Give me a quick second here. Got to send Michael a note. There we go. Got that out. Now let's hope he's not on the phone. Thanks, man. We're going to do one of those rare cases where we actually take a break tonight. It's not because I'm tired. It's because this piece has not taken anywhere near as long to get off my chest as I thought it would. Oh, I could have played the video. Watch this fruitcake talk about the transition continent. Transition? What the hell is transition? My God.
What I hate.
Be back in a few minutes.
Most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Bob Dylan hits the nail on the head, baby. Unbelievable. I can't say I haven't heard that song in a while, because we do it every once in a great while, but I'm preparing a special two-part musical program for the next Friday nights. It was originally broadcast as a two-hour Friday night session set, and it's a real mixed bag. It's got a wide range of different kinds of music. Some country, some Steve Boss pieces, some other things that are not normally heard or played. I think I recorded that program back around 2015 or something like that. I was on a different network at the time. And I think we're okay with tomorrow night's episode. There are some minor sound issues that were taking place that night that you may pick up on, but you're going to ignore it. So do tune in this Friday and next Friday for our usual pour a beer and have a martini and a glass of wine and sit back and enjoy it. I mean, haven't you heard enough of this kind of stuff all week long? And then I turned to a piece that was submitted to me yesterday, I think, from a gal that I've got a lot of respect for. She's got a lot of work that I have wanted to publish. A lot of it deals with education, and I will get it published, but it's very intense. The amount of links she has and everything else is unreal. Kathleen Marquardt is a brilliant writer that I have massive respect for. She investigates everything she writes about. There's no playing around with it. And this piece, the headline alone, it's not submitted to me through the normal source. She submits to me directly. The international treaty that will end the great American dream. If we allow it. And as Kathleen says, for years, a wide range of people, Tom DeWeese, Henry Lamb, Michael Kaufman, Kathleen herself, many others have been beating the drums, trying to wake up America and the world about Agenda 21, the sustainable development. In the past several years, thanks to an unemployed bartender trying to shove the Green New Deal down our throats, people have begun to question what's being shoved down our throats. But now the powers that be, the globalists, the deep state operators, believe that they're about to wield a coup de grace. And believe me, this will be the end of civilization on Earth. No, Kathleen's not exaggerating. But she admits that she never expected this. Under the guise of controlling our health, to protect us from another so-called pandemic, nation states are to grant full fealty to a treaty, a legally binding treaty of international law, which is not different in its legal effect from other treaties. You know, like Agenda 21, which was never even signed, but was put into every department of federal, state, and local governments. International treaties, my friends, supersede our Constitution. Well, let me share with you some words directly from the World Health Organization's mouth, WHO, which states that in a consensus decision aimed at protecting the world from future infectious disease crises, the World Health Assembly today agreed to kickstart a global process to draft and negotiate a convention, agreement, or other international instrument under the Constitution of the World Health Organization to strengthen pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. And it goes on to state that the Health Assembly met in a special session, the second ever since WHO's founding in 1948, and adopted a sole decision titled The World Together. Yeah, the decision by the Assembly establishes an intergovernmental negotiating body, the NINB, to draft and negotiate a WHO convention, agreement, or other international instrument on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response, with a view to adoption under Article 19 of the WHO Constitution or other provisions of the Constitution as may be deemed appropriate by the INB. They conclude by saying Article 19 of the WHO Constitution provides the World Health Assembly with the authority to adopt conventions or agreements on any matter within WHO's competence. That last word is debatable. This treaty will put our constitutional protection of rights into the toilet, my friends, and flush it. How are the globalists at all selling it? Straight out of Klaus Schwab's Fourth Industrial Revolution. A potential framework convention could take the lessons learned from the COVID-19 pandemic and use them to build back better. A second sentence out of it should drive it home when it states a potential framework convention could establish principles, priorities, and targets for pandemic preparedness and response through a legally binding international framework. They babble on to say that we agreed, we signed away our sovereignty decades ago, but this truly can be the final thrust. Kathleen continues by telling us that some notes from James Roguski, who is leading a change against this, states that the United States is a co-sponsor of the current negotiations, but it is not a member of the working group that is guiding the process. A list of delegates to the special session of the World Health Assembly. Well, you'll be able to find it in this posting. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra, leads the U.S. delegation to the World Health Assembly. And you'll be able to share your opinions with him directly. His email has been provided, two of them, by the way. Directly through the government, one through Twitter. And the pandemic treaty has not yet been drafted. And hence, now is the time to make our voices heard. We must actively work to prevent these treaty negotiations from infringing upon the rights and freedoms of the entire world, not just America. But our voices must be heard. Our opinions must be considered. Our rights must be respected. And if 130 countries, two-thirds of the 194 member states, approve this pandemic treaty, then the terms of the treaty will apply to all 194 member states. And the negotiations toward this treaty are being controlled by bureaucrats, politicians, lawyers, public health officials, non-government organizations, and oh, surprise, surprise, pharmaceutical representatives who want to place themselves in control of determining the future of the world's health. Now, you question that? I mean, consider the program that we did yesterday, talking about the reality of pharmaceuticals and the history of pharmaceuticals. The Greeks, etc., etc. How can you ignore things like that? How in the living daylights can we ignore things like this? I can't. My God, people. This is insane. Absolute pure insanity. How many of you will be willing to participate to stop this crap? Easy to do. You're going to be able to go directly to Federal Observer again tonight. Log on to Kathleen's column. International treaty that will end the great American dream. And there are links you'll be able to follow. And you need to do it. So whose plan for this future? By August the 1st of this year, the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body will meet to discuss progress on a working draft for this international instrument on pandemic prevention. And in 2023, the negotiating body will deliver a progress report to the 76th World Health Assembly. In May of 2024, the proposed instrument will be presented for adoption by the 77th World Health Assembly. But here's some recommendations. The Treaty on Pandemic Prevention and Preparedness has not been finalized. On December the 1st of last year, 2021, the WHO formally began the process towards drafting, negotiating, and approving the treaty. And the scheduled time for public comment is right now. We, you and I, those of us that are all together here tonight, must actively work to prevent these treaty negotiations from infringing upon the rights and the freedoms of the entire world. And our voices must be heard. Our opinions must be considered. And damn it, our rights must be respected. And the next meeting of the World Health Assembly is scheduled for May 22nd and 28th. That's less than a month away. And a meeting to discuss progress on a working draft of the treaty is scheduled to occur on August the 1st of this year, 2022. And the WHO's stated goal is to reach a preliminary agreement at that time. And the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, the INB, has tasked with drafting and negotiating this pandemic treaty. We'll then deliver a progress report to the 76th World Health Assembly in May of 2023, with the aim of adopting that instrument by 2024. And my friends, while we are doing all of these things, we must continue to clean out the swamp. Get this country back to a civilized, non-moral relativity state and bring our constitutional republic back to following the Constitution and acting as a republic. And damn it, don't you just sit there in your sofa thinking, when's somebody going to do something? I can't do anything. My God, people, if 150 or 200 million people in this country take on the same damn attitude, then we're screwed. You take this information we've published tonight and you send it out to everybody that's on your email list. And you share it with people in your churches, your men's clubs, your women's clubs, whatever you go to. They don't have to agree with you, but a certain percentage of them will. There's a couple of links well worth following down toward the end of this article. I recommend you link, you click on them. You do what has to be done. The international treaty that will end the great American dream if we, the people in this country, allow it. Can you afford to allow this? And then you got scumbuckets like the Waltons. Worthless pieces of caca. They can stick their store up their posteriors. I ain't shopping there. For years, my granddaughter and I would go to the Walmart mini market, the little neighborhood market. Basically, all they dealt with was food. A few other oddball things, but you couldn't buy everything in it like you could a regular Walmart or whatever the case may be. I won't shop there anymore. I will willingly pay a higher price to an organization that will not support this kind of crap. Unbelievable. You got it, man. Means I got to fill up six more minutes? couple of other pieces I want to share with you over at Federal Observer. And as most of you know, I've been kind of behind on keeping all the websites up to date. Charles Dickens has got a new piece entitled Miseducation. And it's one of Charles' pieces that I've had the greatest difficulty in posting visuals along with it. But the one that struck him most was the first one I published. It says, don't use a big word with a singularly unloquacious and diminutive linguistic expression will satisfactorily accomplish the contemporary necessity. Another piece that I posted a couple of days ago called Wade in the Water. All the way back to Mexico. Amazing stuff. A new piece by Joe McCutcheon. A reflection on Senior Senator John Boozman's 20-plus years in the U.S. House and Senate. Pretty powerful. A former... Oh, I've got to share this headline with you if we've not done this story. Entitled, California Catholic School Asks Students to Wear Their Pronouns. Yeah, Catholic school is promoting this transgender crap. It's appalling to me. A man who I met many, many years ago, J.D. Hayworth, former representative from Arizona who served in the U.S. Congress, House of Representatives. That's where I actually met J.D. when he was already serving. I've shared this story with you before. I was in the Washington, D.C. area doing some work with Gun Owners of America. Larry Pratt invited me to go with him. He was going to be on Fox News that day. And so I went with him. Unbeknownst to him, J.D. Hayworth was in the room, and he and I met. J.D. and I talked while Pratt was on the air. And met again some 2 weeks later, and the guy just, we happened to walk into the same store. Jeff, my God, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. How many people does this guy meet? He remembers my name?
Yeah.
Recently wrote a fresh piece called Fed Program Would Foster Drug Abuse and Addiction. I posted it with a picture that I've had for years called It's Not That They Don't Want You Doing Drugs. They just don't want you doing any drugs other than theirs. That's Big Pharma, of course. Nothing more than a big cartel. In the image, they show cocaine street value at $20,000 a kilogram. But oxycodone street value is $1 million a kilogram. And that's a product that's put out by Big Pharma. As J.D. says, subsidizing drug abuse and all that comes with it, violent crime, homelessness, and death is no way to serve underserved communities. Oh, that's right. Walmart also has drug stores, don't they? It just keeps coming around, doesn't it? We'll be publishing a lot more over the course of this weekend on our various different websites. I'm busy. I'm buried. But, having said all of that, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. Sit back. Laugh, smile, dance. Enjoy life. Don't forget Chapter 3 of the Ayn Rand interviews upcoming on Monday. I'll see you on Tuesday, Lord willing. I was born by the river. Good night.
in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.